It is good to see everyone today as we are examining our third message based on the experience of the prophet Isaiah when he was lifted up to heaven and he said, "I saw the Lord." And, you know, in our lives, everything is based on how we see God. And so Isaiah continues to exhort the children of Israel to see God and to see God as God. So that's the title of today's message, Isaiah 40, verses 12 through 15. We want to see God as God, the many facets of the Lord, and what He offers to each and every one of us. What is available to us, as individuals, as sheep of His pasture. And as we examine this, we're going to look at one aspect of that today. So Holy Spirit, just bless us. Isaiah 40 verse 12 says, "Who has measured the waters in the hollow of His hand and meted out heaven with the span? Who comprehends or knows the dust of the earth in a measure?" Now I want you to think about that for a moment. Who comprehends or who knows the amount of the dust of the earth in a measure? This is just amazing stuff. He saw the Lord. Who weighs the mountains on a scale and the hills in a balance and knows how much they weigh? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or who was His counselor that taught Him? With whom did He take counsel, and who instructed Him and taught Him in the path of judgment? And who taught Him knowledge and showed to Him the way of understanding? Behold, all the nations of the world and all the populations of those nations are as a drop in a bucket, and are counted as the small dust when they would weigh the wheat and the chaff would be left over. Behold, He takes up the isles as a very little thing. He goes on to say in verse 21, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is He that sits upon the circle of the earth, the diameter, and the inhabitants of the earth are grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens as a curtain and spreads them all out as a tent to dwell in." Now let me read that first part to you again, because this is your part. Verse 22. "He sits upon the circumference of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers." Would you say with me, "I am a grasshopper"? Would you say that? I am a grasshopper. Now, I mean, seriously, how big a problem can a grasshopper have? Well, fire ants, one. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank You for this time. I thank You for the privilege of being with family. Lord Jesus, this is our church family. We pray for each other and pull for each other, and we want everybody to be blessed. And Father, not only here, but our whole community. I thank You for this community, Lord Jesus, and all the wonderful people that are here. And Father, we just praise Your name that we can live in the simplicity of Wayne County, a county of many folks that believe in You, Lord Jesus, and stand on Your godly morals. So, Father, as I come today, I ask for forgiveness of daily sin and a cleansing. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that Your Holy Spirit will totally take over what is me. I need to die to self and decrease. And in meekness and in humility, I need to wash the feet of those that are listening and serve them with your word. Father, I am nothing, but I am a child of God. You created me, you love me, and you saved me. So, Father, that makes us all something. But in the flesh, we are nothing. But in the spirit, we can be used of you. So, Holy Spirit, I pray for your anointing and your filling at this time to be used of you. In your name we pray. Amen. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 12, he says this. He says, "Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and who meted out heaven with the span, and comprehends or numbers the dust of the earth in a measure?" Every speck of dust, God knows exactly how much it is. "And he weighed the mountains and the hills in a scale." He knows exactly what they weigh. And as we're reading all of this and have been studying all this, we are struck with the immensity and the grandeur of God. What an awesome, amazing, infinite, glorious God that has created the universe, but he created you. And you know, we're struck with the immensity of God and then with the individuality and the intimacy that God shows everyone that he has created. The one, and we'll read that verse, God willing, in a few moments. "The one who numbers the stars has numbered the hairs on my head." Now, I was looking at this the other morning and I just began to write. Because God is all of this over here, and he's all of this over here. Yeah. And a lot of times we want to leave out some of what he is. Yeah. And I just started writing. I said, he's the Savior, and he's the Judge. Yeah. He's both. We always want to hear about him being the Savior, but he's the Savior, and he's the Judge. Amen. He's the tender shepherd. Many times I've just cried out, "Jesus, hold me." But he's also a consuming fire. Okay, I'm just quoting to you scripture. He's the immense, infinite creator God. Yet he calls me friend. Then I wrote this down. His voice, his mighty voice, calms the roaring of the sea. And my heart. His eyes see all things. Nothing is hid from God. Yet, his eyes on the sparrow. And I know he watches me. Now, my friend, every one of those concepts is true. And every one of those concepts, the Lord wants you to apply to him in your understanding of God. So there is an immensity of God that he appropriates to the individual. And I want you to understand that today in one aspect. There is an immensity of God that he appropriates to the individual. So let me show you in Isaiah 40 verse 12 what I'm talking about. "Who hath measured the waters in the palm of his hand?" He can measure every ocean. "And who meted out the heaven with the span and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who directed the Spirit of the Lord?" Nobody. "Who was his counselor? Who taught him?" No one. "Who did he take counsel with? Who instructed him?" No one. "Who taught him the path of judgment and taught him knowledge?" No one. "Who showed him the way of understanding?" No one did that. Now, look at verse 21. "Have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth that all us people are grasshoppers in the eyes of the Lord? that he stretched out the heavens as a curtain. He spread them out as a tent to dwell in. Verse 26, lift up your eyes on high and behold, who hath created all these things? Who brings out the stars every night, calls them by number? He calls them all by their names, by the greatness of his might. He is strong in power, and not one fails. Now, what is he talking about? Well, Brother Leo, he's talking about Creator God. Yeah, certainly he is. But I want you to understand, it's more specific than that. He's talking about how God designed creation. He measured out the span of heaven. He measured the circumference of the earth. He put all the stars and planets in the sky, sent them in motion in orbit and in their orders. He put the oceans at the correct depth. Our God is not only the great creator God, he's the great designer God. He's the great engineer God. Now, I just told you, God desires you to have an understanding of his immensity and greatness so that he can appropriate it unto you as the individual. Now, look at what the scripture says in verse 13 and 14. Notice the words counsel, direction in verse 13. Counsel and instruction in verse 14. To be taught paths of judgment and discernment. You know what that means? That means to be taught how to make the right choices. Nobody taught him that. I'll tell you why in a moment. Taught him knowledge and showed him understanding. So you've got counselor, you've got judgment, you've got discernment, you've got instructor, you've got understanding, all brought about in how God has creatively designed the universe. And so our first point is, God is the source of all wisdom, knowledge, instruction, and counsel. I want you to grab that. God is the source of all wisdom, knowledge, instruction, and counsel. And he wants to appropriate that to your individual life, to your individual heart, and to your individual mind. Lehman, God does not want you going off half-cocked this week making decisions that are not based on his instruction, direction, wisdom, and counsel.
Amen.
And I want you to understand that. Now, if he has appropriated all this grand design into this universe that if man hasn't messed up, would continue on in this beautiful, orderly way, I want you to think about what he can do for your life and how he needs to handle whatever it is you've got coming up.
Amen.
Whatever it is you're facing today. God is, listen to this, he is the source of all wisdom, knowledge, instruction, and counsel. He is the all-knowing God, the all-understanding God. And I'm going to take you here in a moment, but I'm just going to say it right now. Isaiah 9:6 calls him the wonderful counselor.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give you that word in the Hebrew in a moment, but I just want you to know, you and I can pray this prayer right now. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you. You are my wonderful counselor. All right, now, I'm going to take you to a verse of Scripture that shows you, I was about to say what throws the monkey wrench into this situation, but Patty, many years ago, we were watching something. Daniel was in high school, and Daniel never lets Patty forget anything. I don't either. But something came up, and Patty said, boy, that sure threw a wrench at the monkey, didn't it? And so now, anytime a situation comes up, Daniel and I always say, well, Mom, you think that's throwing a wrench at the monkey? But anyway, we've got four or five of those little Patty colloquialisms. And so anyway, let me show you what throws the wrench at the monkey spiritually in this situation. And it's a very familiar verse, and you know it, but let's not read it so quickly today. Go to Proverbs chapter 3. And you say, oh, Brother Leo, I know where you're going. I know this by heart. But I want you to understand, I can tap into and I can draw from anytime I want to. I can tap into, I can draw from on a consistent basis the wisdom, the counsel, the instruction, and the guidance of Almighty God for your life. Now, I just read to you about the stars. Every time you go out at night and you look at those grand stars, know that God placed them. Not a one of them's ever going to fail. Not one light's ever going to go out. They're in their perfect place. They're part of the perfect orbit. And the same one that numbered those stars numbers the hair on your head. And so he is as involved in guiding and directing your life as he is the universe. And it's just as important to him. But I want you to read this. Proverbs 3 verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In every way, in every situation, acknowledge the lordship and authority of Jesus Christ. Seek his wisdom and he will direct your path. Be not wise and depend on your wisdom in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. You will have a blessed, blessed life. I want to grab two phrases here. Lean not unto thine own understanding, and don't you, verse 7, don't use your own wisdom and your own eyes to make your decisions. Now, I just want you to meditate just for a few moments. I want you to try to think back over your life and think about how many decisions you have made and they have been totally as a result of your own wisdom and your own understanding and what you could see horizontally. I want to show you how important this verse is. You can look back over your life and you can say quite honestly to our Lord Jesus Christ right now, you can say quite honestly, Lord Jesus, forgive me. I didn't include you in that decision. Amen. Lord Jesus, forgive me. I didn't seek you in that decision. Lord Jesus, forgive me. I just did what I thought I needed to do. My friend, there might be a situation that's going on right now in your life and you're not including God. There might be a situation going on right now in your life and you've already made a decision and you didn't include God. You need to repent, back up, and see if you can seek the wisdom of God to straighten this situation out. Let me show you how important this is. Look at what he says. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not onto your own understanding. Billy Graham believed that, 70% of the church membership was lost. I believe 80% of the church membership that's saved lives their entire lives leaning on their own understanding. I talk to people that go to church all the time, and they'll come to me at times, and you can talk to them 5 minutes and tell they've no more sought God in this than the man on the moon. Or they sought God after the fact. This is what I think I need to do. And Brother Leo, you need to help pray that God will bless these plans. And I believe 8 out of 10 Christians, I'm talking about born again Christians, live lives that way. They marry based on making decisions that way. They buy homes. They take jobs. They make financial decisions. They raise their children. They do all these things totally. Because notice what it says. He wants you to trust with all your heart. If you're not, you're totally leaning on the flesh. And a lot of times we'll say somebody made a fleshly or a carnal decision. My friend, that's exactly what you've made. You've made a fleshly or carnal decision. And there are times I tell Patty, we'll come home and I'll say, Patty, we can't help these people. They have got themselves in this mess totally in the flesh. And they are not seeing any other way to get themselves out of it. And what they do, they go from step A into the flesh to step B into the flesh to step C into the flesh. And Brother Leo can pray all he can pray. But the bottom line is all true guidance, counsel, and wisdom and instruction comes from God, and He wants to give it to us. No, Brother Leo, how do you know He wants to give it to us? Because He says this in verse 6. If you'll acknowledge His authority over your life and seek His wisdom and not your own, He will direct your path. He will direct my path. Would you say that? He will direct my path. God desires to give you direction. And isn't that plural in the Hebrew? He will direct my paths. I want you to understand. I don't know what you're facing today, but God's got an answer for you. God's got instruction for you. God's got counsel. He's got a path that He wants you to walk down in this particular situation. But you won't know unless you seek. Right. So what are you saying, Brother Leo? I'm saying pray before the decision. A day, an hour, a week, a month, a year. Not after the decision. God bless us. God help us. God get us out of this mess. Because He'll lead you to a healthy and a good situation. Go to Proverbs 27:1. We'll go ahead and cover that while we're here. I've got it later on in the notes. But I want you to notice what he says in Proverbs 3. And as you're going there, he says, be not wise in your own eyes. But look at what it says in Proverbs 27:1. It says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. And that boast means don't take for granted tomorrow. And I'm going to show you something in James in a moment. For you know not what a day may bring forth. Boast not yourself about tomorrow. Don't say, well, I'm going to go do this tomorrow. Be so settled. Because you don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. And so when we're in our own eyes, I'm going to tell you something. I can see no further than this back wall. And I can see no further than that glass door. And I can see no further than exactly what time it is right now. But guess what? The one who sees the end from the beginning, he said, ask me and I'll direct your path. The one that has put the planets in orbit said, ask me and I'll direct your orbit. And you won't be crashing into stuff. So that's what the Lord's saying to us today. His planning, His counsel, His instruction, and His guidance is available to me. Go with me to Romans chapter 11. I'm going to show, I mean, this is all available to us. And there are times you just have to say, Lord Jesus, I messed up. You know, I made this decision 3 years ago. It was the wrong decision. But Father, I'm not going to do anything right now. I'm going to stay in this situation and I'm going to seek you because I know your word says you'll show me a pathway out of this mess. So I'm going to seek you now for your wisdom, your counsel, your guidance, and your instruction in this. I mean, the immensity of God and then the individuality of God's working in our lives is just a wonderful thing. And so Isaiah warned the children of Israel to see God as God. They were the sheep of His pasture. In Romans 11 verse 33, look at what it says. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. I'm going to stop right there. I want you to understand, I don't know how wise you think you are, but your wisdom is finite. Your wisdom and your knowledge is very, very limited. Look at what else it says. How unsearchable are your judgments, all right? I want to use that word again, diakrinos. I want you to understand, judgment means discernment. Discernment is only used when there is a choice. Do I choose left or do I choose right? You got to have discernment. Do I say something now or do I keep my mouth shut? You've got to use discernment. Do I say this or do I say that? You've got to use discernment. Do I take this job or do I take that job? Oh, brother Leo, that's the easy one. This job pays 80 a year. This one pays 30. You take the 80. That's leaning on your own understanding. Oh, it'll be less hours. It'll be more. That's leaning on your own understanding. Do you not see? Do you not understand that God's got a bigger plan for you than what you can see? You might be worried about the salary. God's worried, concerned about the souls He wants you to minister to.
Amen.
So He may lead you to the $30,000 a year. And then bless you in that. In 2 years before you know it, you're making 100, but you'll never find that out.
Yes, sir.
Because we're so short-sighted.
Yeah.
And we're so selfish and self-centered. And we just do things, you know. I know a lot of people that do things exactly like their parents did it. And their parents do things exactly like their grandparents did. And blah, blah, blah. And you have the sins of the fathers visited on the sins of the sons. And why are you doing it? Well, we've just always done it. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Look at what He says. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, verse 34, or who has been His counselor, or whoever gave something to Him first? Verse 36, for of Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, what I want you to understand, those all things, that's all the things in your life. That's all the things in my life. That's all the things. And I'm saying to you right now, I don't know what you're going through and I don't know what you're facing, but it comes under the category all things. And let me say again, God's got this. God's got this. God's got an answer. God's got a step you're to take. God has got it, but you've got to seek it. Don't make your own decision and ask God to bless you. How many times have you done that? How many times, looking back over your life, you've asked God to bless situations in your life that are totally the result of a horizontal, fleshly decision on your part or choice on your part? It does not work that way. God is willing to give us His counsel. And if we'll follow it, we'll be blessed. Now, you don't have to go there. But I told or shared with you Isaiah 9:6, wonderful counselor. I want to give you that word in the Greek, counselor. It's yaots. Y-A with an apostrophe, A-T-S. And it means to advise or to direct. But the second part of the definition is stronger. It means to plan out with purpose and order. Let me say that again. To plan out with purpose and order. Say that with me. To plan out with purpose and order. Isn't that a wonderful thing? God wants to plan you. The wonderful counselor wants to plan your life out with purpose and order.
Yes.
Now, isn't that a wonderful thing? How many times you get up and you say, man, my life's just in disorder. It's in disarray. I'm being hit by the waves of the tumult, knocked down. Well, I want you to understand something. God wants your life planned out with purpose and order. I'm going to tell you something. I have the greatest life I could ever imagine. I have the purpose and the order of teaching the Word of God in simplicity, with no bells and whistles, no expectation of being some religious CEO, and it's the greatest blessing ever. But I feel the purpose and the emotion and the passion, and that I'm doing something directed by God. And every one of us can have that. And every one of our lives are called to have that. But my friend, if there's any of this that's not going on in your life, it's because you have left out the Lord. And let me show you two passages of Scripture as I'm going to close out the day. But let's go to James chapter 4. And then I'm going to give you a lot of this stuff I get out of James is from Zedaites wrote three books expositorily on the book of James. And this book handles this section of James. And it's really incredible. But anyway, and I'm going to read you something out of that'll make you smile, maybe. In James chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, he prefaces what he's going to say in 13 and 16. In 17, he concludes something based on 13 through 16 that a lot of people misinterpret and don't understand the Greek. But anyway, in verse 11 and 12, he says this, "Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaks evil of his brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but you have made yourself a judge of the law, and you shouldn't do that. What you've done, you made yourself God. See, I'm a grasshopper, God's God." And he says this in verse 12, "There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to be judging other people?" So he wants you to know this one main point. There is only one God, and God is able to save, and God is able to destroy. God is able to set up one and knock down another. And so he says this. Based on that, go to now, I want all y'all listen, all of y'all that say these kind of things, today or tomorrow, I or we will go into a city, we're going to be there a year, we're going to buy stuff, we're going to sell stuff, we're going to make a huge profit. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing at all wrong with being in business and making a profit. But what I want you to notice, he left God out of the plan. He leaned totally on his own understanding. I'm going to go to Columbia and get another job and blah, 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 and it'll be a better deal. Verse 14, here we go again. "Whereas you know not what's going to happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. This is what you ought to say. If the Lord wills, we will live and we will do this and we will do that." And then he says the way the former person was acting was boasting. And you might say, "Well, I'm not a boastful person." Well, in the eyes of God, every time you leave God out of your plans, you're lifting yourself up. And in pride and boasting, you're making these plans in the eyes of the Lord. And so what am I to do? I'm to say, "Lord, if it's your will, Lord, is it your will I take this job? Is it your will I go to this city? Is it your will I buy this or sell this? Lord, is it your will?" Kelly, the greatest thing you can pray about, "Lord, I want the man you want me to have in my life. That's who I want to marry." I praise God. I had a pastor and had folks that taught me things when I was growing up that you were to pray about everything. And you were to ask God for the woman that he wanted you to have. And when I stood there to get married, it was a spiritual experience for me because I knew that I knew that I knew. And you know, when I got out of college, my parents prayed. I prayed for the job that God would have me have. I flew to Charlotte one time for an interview, to Atlanta one time for an interview. Dad and I drove up to Wilmington one time and I got interviewed with all of these companies. Squibb Pharmaceuticals, Procter & Gamble, Eli Lilly. All of these companies, because I was working for a pharmaceutical wholesaler at the time. And none of those jobs panned out. Not a one of them panned out. But the worst job I could have had compared to a drug rep. Now, a drug rep's a great gig if you can get it. But I got a decent job in advertising. The company was handled Walt Disney's advertising in Florida before Walt took it over himself now. But I had to move to Walterboro, South Carolina and handle Hilton Head. Now, I could have moved to Hilton Head, but I couldn't afford Hilton Head. But I handled radio and television and billboard advertising for Hilton Head and that part of South Carolina. But the fact that I was in Walterboro, we got a house that a guy that worked with my dad knew a guy, and he was a Baptist preacher. And he was living in a parsonage across the way. And we got in that house, moved in on about a Saturday, and I walked out the front door and across the field. Patty and I had two quarter horses in the back, but across the field sat a little country church. And the whole reason God gave me that job was for that little country church. And I went in there and sat there on a Saturday morning. They had a 25-year-old preacher, and he preached verse by verse by verse. And I never heard the Word of God preached like that in my life. And over the next 6 months, I fed on the Word of God. I fell in love with the Word of God. And before long, the Lord was moving on my heart to call me to preach. And the only thing was, I knew I couldn't speak in front of a crowd. And I went to that pastor and I told him that. And he said to me, well, if God's calling you, He'll equip you. But the whole reason I didn't get those other jobs and I got that one was because I had a mama and a daddy that were praying God's will. Not the most money. Not Eli Lilly. Not Park Davis. Not any of those. But whatever you... And my mama would tell me that over and over. I'd get so discouraged and so disappointed. And she would keep telling me, God's got something for you. God's got something for you. And the job was not the end of the plan. The job was part of the plan. And see, that's what it means, wonderful counselor. And here I am in Wayne County, Tennessee. I mean, is that not incredible? Met Ed Gardner on a whim in Tampa, Florida many, many years ago. By a man who came to my church for a very short time that came out of Ed's church in Florida. All of these things. And my friend, my life's not any different than yours. God has got a plan. But the whole thing is this verse. If the Lord will, we shall. And every parent and grandparent in this room needs to pray God's will for their child. Not your will, God's will. God knows more. God knows best. Yes. I drilled Daniel to death in baseball and basketball. And when he got to college, he had paid for his education, blah, 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 blah. But you know what he really loves? A guitar. His roommate taught him to play the guitar, who was our point guard at Bethel. And Daniel still plays the guitar. He's got a neighbor there in Nashville, a real sweet man. He owns the home. He actually lives in Brentwood. And he said, I can't get Daniel. We have a group of guys that every Saturday and Sunday afternoon, we play basketball in Brentwood. And I cannot get Daniel to come play basketball. I said, well, Daniel's not touched a basketball since the last day he walked off a court in Nashville, Tennessee. And I said, he has no desire to touch. I said, but if you want to play an instrument, he'll sit down and play the guitar with you. But that was my plan. That was my... Well, Brother Leo, didn't it work out? Well, it could have, and it might have, and maybe. But I didn't ask God's will. I didn't pray for my son the way my mama prayed for me. That's what I'm trying to tell you. And those are the things we got to learn, not only about our children, but about our own lives. We leave God out. What is your will? Let me show you one more. Go to Luke chapter 12. And I'll close out with it. And if you get out early today, you will make it up next Sunday. Just punch the clock on the way out. We're not paying you for the full time. I want you to notice, we're going to start in verse 16. And I want you to notice the number of times I is used in these scriptures. It's six. Six, the Bible has numerical codes, and I know you're aware of that, or some of you are. Six is always the number of man. Seven is the complete, perfect number of God. So when you see in six means everything man can accomplish. So when you see in the Bible the number 666 representing Antichrist, it represents man and in his demonic possession, setting himself up as God. If it had been 777, he would be the true God, but he's not. So that's why he'll use that number. So six times, but I want to read this. He spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. Not, God, what do you want me to do? But this is what I'm going to do. I will knock down my barns and build bigger barns. Or I'll go down the road and rent one of those places for all the stuff we got. Whole industry. We didn't have that industry in the 60s and 70s. Patty had a twin brother, an older brother, and an older sister. They had one bathroom. This culture has just gone nuts. They had one bathroom. Four pair of underwear. Three pair of shoes. One kid had to go barefooted every day to school. It was terrible, man. Terrible. Verse 18, he said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to pull down my barns and build bigger. And there I will bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have everything taken care of. You've got the IRA. You've got everything built up. You can retire now for many years. And I'm just going to take it easy. And I'm going to eat and drink and be merry. And I got it all planned out. But God said unto him, you fool, this night your soul shall be required of you. Then who will take care of all these things and enjoy all that you have provided yourself? So is he that lays up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. Now what should he have done? Well, when God originally blessed him, he should have said, okay, Lord, you've really blessed me with my crops this year. What is it I need to do with it? That's where he messed up. God blesses us and we leave him out. You know, God blesses us and we leave him out. Oh, man, I didn't expect to get all this windfall. Oh, boy, I can get rid of that 22-footer and get a 28-footer now. Yeah. And that's how we think. And it never works out. God can't bless that. And when God can't bless your life, you're in trouble. I fear for folks that have to look back over their life and say 100% of the decisions I've made, I've left Jesus out. If someone's listening on this website and you're lost, I want to say to you, 100% of the decisions you've made, you've left Jesus out. You've not had the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You've not had His ability to guide and direct you. And probably for 80% of the Christians that are listening to this website, the majority of the decisions that you have made in your life, you have left God out. And God says that's prideful. He says it's boasting. He says it's a sin and you need to confess it. Yeah. And you need to repent and ask God for His forgiveness. No matter how well you think it worked out, God may have had a whole nother plan and you're not going to know until you see Him face to face. Yeah. I know I'm supposed to be right here today. Now, there aren't a lot of things you can say, but I know I'm supposed to be right here. I just told you, that guy said I six times. I want to read something to you. And this is out of Zedites, and it's based on James, where the guy went and bought and sold, moved to the city, and never asked God. Zadati says this: the other day we read a prescription on how to be miserable. You want to hear? This is the prescription on how to be miserable. This recipe is guaranteed to be infallible, and it will surely make you miserable. Now that's exciting. All right, I'm going to read to you. Number one, think about yourself. Talk about yourself. Use I as often as possible. Listen greedily to what other people say about you. Expect to be appreciated. Always be jealous and envious. Never forget a criticism. Demand agreement on your views on everything. Sulk if people are not grateful to you for all the favors you've shown them. Never forget a service you may have rendered. Love yourself supremely and always be selfish. That is guaranteed to make you miserable. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said, man, give your life away. Just give it away. You know, be more concerned about us. Man, you know, how much more blessed can we be? The Lord will direct my path if I don't leave Him out. Just like the orbits of the planet, as perfect and wonderful as they are, He's got a plan for me because He numbered the hairs on my head. So I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes for a few moments. And you might be here today and you're facing a situation and you hadn't got into it yet. Or you're in the middle of a situation or you're on the backside of a situation that's based on a decision you made and you left God out. If that's the case, say, Lord Jesus, I left you totally out of this thing. Father, forgive me. I need your guidance. I know you have a way. You desire to impart to me wisdom and instruction and knowledge and counsel. And Father, you want to direct my path in this area. Help me today to begin seeking your guidance for this. Lord Jesus, you direct the stars. All the knowledge and wisdom of the created universe, you're the source of. You can handle this for me, Lord. I've got to be faithful, grab hold of you, and not move till you show me the way. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm going to ask Brother Lehman to close this out.
Heavenly Father, I come to you now. Thank you for the word that's been spoken this morning. And thank you, Jesus,